Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with two of my favorites, Milan Jurkovic and Dr. David Stoop. And your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. We're going to talk about addiction today, 12 steps. Stay tuned.
Before I ask my question, I first want to say how much I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
You know something, I failed as a husband.
I had a question, if I could, please.
Okay.
The rest of it, I just felt like I was kind of getting shined on. So now I get it.
I want to know about your dad, what he was like.
He was an angry person.
That's a big part of your anger.
I think having you be a little bit more involved says, I'm a woman and you're doing this to women. This is going to affect your relationship with women. And so for him to feel what that's like in the presence of a woman, I think is important.
Yeah, that was good, Jill.
People with addictive personalities are like boa constrictors.
Well, I just asked, did you play with dynamite when you were a child?
No.
Because this is playing with dynamite. Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Glad you're with us today. Milan Jurkovic is here. Smiling Milan. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Steve.
And Waving Dave is here. And good to see you, Dave.
Well, you're in great shape today. Good to see you.
I had a good day yesterday. I got up at 1 a.m. California time to fly here and got to bed about 11 last night. So after 22 hours awake, I slept a little bit last night.
I guess so.
Still a little punchy, maybe.
Yeah. Hey, I had a great meeting with a man last night or yesterday who is 90 years old, and he's been recovering from alcoholism for 5 years. In other words, he got sober at 85.
Wow.
And his moment of truth was right here in Laguna Beach at the Montage Hotel. It was just a fascinating time. But we started talking about the 12 steps and where they came from. And I told him about the transcript of one of the founders of AA, Dr. Bob, his last talk he ever gave in 1948, and how he referred to the Bible, the good book. And I want to read you a couple of these, and we can talk about it a little bit. As you know, Dave and I are the editors of the Life Recovery Bible, and we've tried to bring the 12 steps back to the Bible where they originated from. People say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. This is from Dr. Bob, 1948. He says, at that point, our stories didn't amount to anything to speak of. When we started in on Bill D., one of the people they were working with, we had no 12 steps either. We had no traditions. But we were convinced that the answer to our problems was in the good book. To some of us older ones, the parts that we found absolutely essential were the Sermon on the Mount, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and the book of James. So you want to know where the 12 steps came from? This is where they came from. And then it says, after my June 10th episode, Bill came to live at our house and stayed for about 3 months. There was hardly a night that we didn't sit up until 2 or 3 o'clock talking. It would be hard for me to conceive that during these nightly discussions around our kitchen table, nothing was said that influenced the writing of the 12 steps. He already had the basic ideas, though not in terse and tangible form. We got them, as I said, as a result of our study of the good book. And then over here in another part of this, see, I just think this is a lot of folks, you know, when they say that AA is committed to not being affiliated with any religion, then they just think, well, that throws out the Bible totally. But that isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, here are the absolutes that came from their study of the Scripture. Absolute honesty, absolute unselfishness, absolute purity, and absolute love. I think those are pretty fine absolutes to live by. And then finally, another thing with which most of us are not too blessed is the feeling of humility. I don't mean the fake humility of Dickens' Uriah Heep. I don't mean the doormat variety. We're not called upon to be shoved around and be stepped on by anyone. We have a right to stand up for our rights. I'm talking about the attitude of each and every one of us toward our Heavenly Father. Christ said, "Of myself I am nothing. My strength cometh from my Father in heaven." If he had to say that, how about you and me?
Wow.
Then he goes on to talk about how he prayed nightly and read the Bible every night, and as they were developing these. But fascinating stuff to find out that these 12 steps, which I call a 12-point sermon that has stood the test of time. And if you think that you couldn't benefit from these, let's just say you're anxious and you have no addiction whatsoever. You work these 12 steps, it will reduce your anxiety 12 times. We'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. A little update. Yesterday, I told you that, you know, we really had a great outpouring of support in April, and we just need to keep it up in May. And I mentioned that, and a lot of people who had never given before called and said, okay, I'm going to help out in May. So I just want to appeal to you folks that have never given to our ministry to please, if you've been meaning to or always meant to or thought it would be good, would you please call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com, because we have to do in May what we did in April to stay on the air. And so please help us, and if we get enough people that have never given to give, we're going to be in such great shape. So please come be a part of that. If you're listening, you've always thought that you ought to give, make today that day and call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, we apologize sometimes for talking about money, but one of my stations I listen to is a classical station that's public radio,
yeah.
You know, 3-4 times a year they take 10 days to raise support because they don't get paid by advertising. And I'm as I was listening to them, I'm thinking that's very much like what Christian radio is, really, because we don't get any money from any advertising. We have to pay for the program to be on,
right?
And we don't need to apologize for asking for help, because the listeners benefit. That's a place then to respond.
That's right.
You know, Steve, I was thinking about what you were reading about the 12 steps, and he wrote those words in 1948. And so a lot of people might walk into an AA meeting today, and there would be no Christ there.
Right.
And as true with many organizations, churches, and seminaries, starting off 100 years ago, 150 years ago, they start off one place faith-wise, and then they drift.
Mm-hmm.
And so I appreciate you calling it back to the roots. Where did this thing start? And that's what we all must do.
Yeah.
Even New Life, we're always rooting ourselves back in the truth of the God's Scripture, trying to recenter ourselves, making sure we don't drift.
Yeah,
which I think is one of our strengths. We've got a great team on the radio, and these are people that don't really drift.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and in the beginning of AA, they made a strategic decision.
They made a choice. Yeah.
They said, okay, when you're drunk and you stay drunk and you end up admitting that you're an alcoholic, pretty much the addiction has robbed you of your relationship with God, and some people believe that God has abandoned them. Many, mm-hmm. So we don't want to be specific about this. We want to be essentially an organization of attraction, and so we don't want to offend the Jewish person or someone that's an atheist or whatever. So they said our mission is to help people get sober, and so they made that strategic move, but we need to realize.
It was a good move, but then it kept going to where you couldn't talk about Jesus.
Right.
But the interesting thing is the effectiveness has gone down in terms of AA when they do that, and when you see things happening where Christ is allowed to be talked about, effectiveness has gone way up.
Yeah.
And that was true in the early days, too, from 1936 and on. They were, some of the meetings were basically Bible studies. And because of that, they had an incredible success rate.
Well, AA came out of the Oxford groups, which yeah. encouraged or demanded Bible study
right.
of its members. But I think, you know, if you're really curious about this, pick up a copy of the Life Recovery Bible or look into a Life Recovery group where Christ is the higher power. You know, we're running one in Indiana on Sunday nights at 6, and my wife and I are kind of heading up that meeting. But we read every beginning of the meeting, we say, you know, here Christ is our higher power, but we certainly appreciate that some people aren't there yet,
yeah.
and we welcome whatever.
And for good reason, like you yeah. said, because they're very angry with God because he hasn't delivered them, quote unquote, you know, miraculously, that they have to do something on their own. And so, you know, it's like if you bring God in too early,
yeah.
you know, then you lose some people. But that's why it's really in the third step that you really are confronted with the reality of God if you're in that kind of a New Life Recovery group.
Well, I've had some people say, well, hey, you can't refer to God as higher power. It's Jesus Christ. You need to be very specific. And I say, well, let's talk about this higher power concept. Because I've met a lot of Christians that say they believe in Jesus. They believed he died on the cross. He's their Savior. But he's not really their Lord because they've never made him their higher power.
Mm-hmm.
So the higher power concept is really very, very powerful because a lot of people go through life thinking that they have a relationship with God, but their higher power is their agenda or their ego or whatever they want is their higher power.
Yeah. Well, maturity in Christ goes from a place of knowing you're saved and just knowing the
yeah.
Father to, in 1 John, I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. That's that higher power. I know who my God is. And with that biblical backdrop, that guides me throughout my life. It's always a guiding realization that there I do have an accountability.
Yeah.
Well, and Paul says in Ephesians, the first chapter, when he's praying for them, you know, he talks about our hearts being enlightened, that we might know the hope for which we're called, and the riches of his inheritance, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of heavenly places.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even Paul refers to him as the highest power,
yeah.
that he's above everything that's on earth and everything that's above the earth yeah. in heaven as well.
And I would just say this, if you're a man listening, ask yourself if pornography is your higher power. Do you go through the day wanting things to be right and good and wonderful? You want to have a great marriage and family, but then this power takes over and it wipes all of that out, and you get involved with pornography again.
Or money, you know.
Yeah.
We watch The Sharks, you know. It's a
oh,
fun
love
program.
That.
And one of the guys is saying, it's all about money. It's all about money. It's all about money, you know. And, hey, that's his higher power,
right.
money, you know.
Yeah.
And so it can be money. It can be pornography. It can be yourself. You
yeah.
know? And,
it's interesting working with 20 different publishers over my lifetime. I don't know what that's all about. But anyway, you know, you work with one publisher and you really think that they're on mission to save people's lives and transform them. And other publishers, it's all about the money, it's all about the money, it's all about the money.
Yeah.
That is it. And there's a huge difference
and
between...
And you find that some of those that say it's not, it really is.
It really is about the money down the line.
It is a business.
Enough chit-chat here. Let's go to Nancy from... Wienersville, Pennsylvania? What is the name of that?
Wernersville.
Okay. I had LASIK surgery. I need to have it redone. I didn't read that exactly right. But anyway, I think you should change the name to Wienersville. I like that name. Anyway, how you doing, Nancy?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, what's going on?
I know that God loathes divorce. My husband and I are currently separated. And he's looking at finalizing a divorce, but he's asking me to come back on his terms. Do I even consider going back?
What are his terms?
I basically am his helpmeet, and the dreams and the goals and the purposes I know that God's put in my heart have to take a back burner to doing what he wants.
Mm. Now, he has a sexual addiction problem?
He does.
And
that's why I'm not back there.
Yeah. And then he's saying, here are my criteria if you're coming back.
Yeah.
And what? You're asking us if you ought to go back under those criteria.
I've actually listened to you several times, and one of the reasons I haven't gone back is because he's just not willing to do anything about it. There was wonderful counselor, Danny, tried to get a scholarship for him to go.
To Every Man's Battle?
Yes. Uh-huh. And I actually put money aside, had scraped some stuff together, and then he ended up not going.
Mm.
I mean, there was a reason for it, but and then I said, well, will you go again? And he just kind of backed down from it.
Yeah.
Hey, so, Nancy, why aren't you setting the conditions?
I have. I won't go back.
Oh, okay.
I refuse to go back the way he is right now.
Good. Well, I think you've certainly made your stand there, and he knows what it takes to get back, and he's not willing to work on a thing.
It's a valid stand.
It is a valid stand. What was he involved with in his sexual addiction?
Many thousands of profiles of different women and pornography, major pornography.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in on a couple. I was praying for him one night and just figured there was something wrong, so I drove over there, and he was deeply involved with the pornography and had been drinking a bit. So I told him to, you know, get dressed and I'll take you for coffee. You need to get some coffee in your system. But, he said that I'm kind of hard and bitter about it. I'm not, obviously. I just want to get some help.
Yeah.
There's nothing
excuses.
If for nothing else, for his own spiritual and physical and emotional well-being, not for mine or anyone else's, if he doesn't do that, he can never be the man that God has made him, purposed him to be. And he's a wonderful guy. He's absolutely, God has placed within him some qualities that are just amazing.
What a waste, huh?
Well, it is a waste if you want to walk away from it.
It's a waste of his talent.
That's your dilemma. Do I walk away from this? Is that right?
Pretty much.
Okay, but you see, you started off the conversation with God loathes divorce. And that he does. But if you'll recall in Matthew 19, Jesus said, because of hardness of heart, Moses permitted it. And so there are places where hearts are hard, and a person like your husband has this hardened place where all of the great things that you see in him cannot be realized because of this place where his conscience is seared and he has basically disqualified himself. So, you know, if you really are hung up on the issue of divorce, you could create a separation and just say, I will come back when these things are corrected, or I will be open to coming back at that point in time and waiting for you, but I'm not going to allow my money or my time or my heart to be squandered by what Proverbs calls a fool.
Yeah. Let me send you a copy of our book for women like you, Every Heart Restored. We also... I'll tell you about our seminar we've got coming up called Wives in the Battle. Mm-hmm. And whether your husband has recovered from this or not, it's a wonderful seminar, Wives in the Battle. You can find out about it at newlife.com or calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
And Nancy, you need to understand that nothing will change in him until he humbles himself and acknowledges the, you know, where he is and what he's doing. And he's not even close to that. And if you start to take seriously his demands, that's just a way to divert the conversation so that we don't have to talk about me. We can talk about you. And that's kind of what he would like to do because the focus is off of him. So don't go there. If he wants to go there, just bring it back to say, look, this is about you, and there are certain things you have to do. And if you don't do them, you know, I'm not coming back, and that's just the bottom line.
Right.
And you stick with that, and you get women around you that will pray with you and support you, and will pray for him because God's the miracle worker still. But don't put your life on hold waiting for that because he doesn't work in unwilling hearts.
Mm-hmm. All right, if you're interested in the Wives in the Battle conference, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Sorry. I got to figure out the numbers on New Life to help some people. We'll do that after this. But we're glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. If you want to join us on the program, it is 1-800-229-3000. We are in the studio 2.5 hours more after this. So 1-800-229-3000. You can call us in the third hour and have a good chance of getting through. 1-800-229-3000. 3,000.
You know, Steve.
I really liked what I said.
Say it again, then.
God doesn't work in unwilling hearts.
Yeah.
And if people could understand that in a situation like Nancy, you know, I'm waiting for the miracle, but God doesn't work in a heart that's unwilling.
Right.
Because he, you know, he's got a wall up against
God. And to support that, I was going to say, in John 6:66, when people walked away from Jesus,
right.
he let them walk.
Yeah.
And in those people, I'm sure there were people with good hearts too, or had great capacities. They were already following Christ.
Very talented people.
Probably a lot of very talented people, but they could not tolerate Jesus at a certain point, and they walked away, and he let them go.
People say, I don't know what to work on in group, or I don't know. Hey, two words. Humble willingness. Mm-hmm. Those are the two.
That's what she got to look for.
That is, well, it's the key that unlocks the door to your misery and lets you walk through to a different world. We'll be back.
My clothes are falling off of me. People are making comments. I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day. And I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our eating disorder treatment clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. You can call about anything, but some of our callers are saying, well, the show's on addiction today. Well, we did talk about addiction, and it's kind of nice to have an addiction show. So if you have an addiction, you want to talk about it, you can talk about it today. But you can call us and talk to us about anything. We used to have topics, but then, you know, when somebody had been wanting to talk on the phone about their child who had autism, they'd been wanting to talk about that for 3 months. They finally get through, and that day we're talking about depression. Then they would say things like, I'm depressed because my child has autism. So we thought, well, why don't you just let people talk about whatever it is that they want to talk about? So that's what we're doing here, 1-800-229-3000. And I want to talk with Donna from Denver, Colorado. KRKS is the station. Hello, Donna.
Hi. How are you?
Great. What's going on in your life that would cause you to call a live radio program with three men on it?
Well, I'll tell you, I separated from my husband 2 years ago. We had an ugly 18 months and a divorce finalized, but we were in Christian counseling for a while, and something came out, and I've had a Christian woman ask me for my story, and I guess it's kind of the only thing from the counseling that's hung over as a question to me.
Okay.
I maintain that my second child was a rape.
Okay.
And when I said that to the husband and wife team, she gave a snort and she said, did he hit you? And I said, no, I would not fight him. and she said then it was not a rape.
Oh, well, that's just ridiculous.
that was kind of my feeling.
Yeah.
My husband was a narcissist. I am not sorry for the divorce. I married him because I loved him. I just can't live with him anymore.
So he forced you to have sex and it resulted in a child?
Yes. At the time, I was nursing. I ended up nursing longer than I wanted because he and his mother and his sister decided that, you know, it was best for the baby to decide when they wanted to quit nursing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided it has been really unfair of him to handle the birth control the whole time while I was nursing.
Yeah.
And so this was something he had to do for himself.
Let me tell you what, the analogy to someone saying that it's not a rape unless a person hits you is like saying it's not a robbery unless the person was holding a gun.
That was kind of my feeling.
I mean, really, it's the same thing. You can steal without a gun. You can rape without hitting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So
well,
how could we help you with that?
A Christian group asked me for my story, and it was kind of one of those points that I wanted to be clear on before I talked.
Well, so use that analogy when you tell your story.
So,
and
Donna,
that'll help them.
So, okay. Donna, how long within your memory, even before you met your husband, was it difficult for you to have an adult voice, be able to articulate what your true thoughts and feelings were, and to be able to resist and push back on people just across the board?
Yes, until I married him. And then it kind of began the, you know, you're my wife, you're my Christian wife. This is what I decide makes me feel respected. You're obligated to do this.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
But I think the point I'm trying to make is that it feels like, Donna, you've had a hard time pushing back and saying no to people your whole life. The ability to say, here's what Donna wants. I don't want that. No. And set boundaries and hold people at bay.
And stay with it.
And stay with it.
I guess the only thing that I'm going to rely on that with is that I was always fairly outspoken, that really up to that point I could say no and they would not. With my husband, things started kind of on the wedding day that were never there in premarital counseling and the dating. On the wedding day, his ex-girlfriend turned up at the wedding. She came through the receiving line. She inserted herself between me and my new husband, held up the line for 5 minutes, and on the way from the wedding to the reception, I looked at him and said, you know, I didn't appreciate that. That was our day. This is our day. And he looked at me then and said, I'm sorry. I will not be married to a nag. I always cared about her, but God told me to marry you.
I think the point I'm trying to make is your husband pushed you around in a lot of other ways besides just the sexual way.
He did, and a lot of it was because I felt like that as a Christian wife, this is what I needed to do.
Okay, and that's what people do.
Okay,
tend to read the scriptures through our lens of injury.
But here's what I'd like you to consider, Donna. That maybe you used that scriptural principle as an excuse to do what was absolutely more comfortable for you to do than to stand up and demand that he get some help or stand up and demand. I've told this before, but, you know, when something like this happened with one lady, she's on the honeymoon the first night, she says, you either agree that you're going to do this or this. Or I'm leaving and going home, and then you can tell your friends that you couldn't even satisfy me on our wedding night, that the marriage didn't last one day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a different reaction than, well, I'm just going to put up with anything because the Bible says this. You have to explore what are my excuses and how do I use them. And when your excuse is a biblical principle versus truly a biblical principle, it's hard to break through the denial that's there.
A dictatorship is the antithesis of biblical leadership.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's what you had was a dictatorship, Donna.
All right. Well, I hope he's listening because he's a narcissist. He'll love the fact that we're spending this much time talking about him. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more. 1-800-229-3000.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Well, we're back. All right. Donna's one of those people that would really benefit from Wives in the Battle. And you can find out about that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. I'll mention it again here at the bottom of the hour. We really do need your help. Your financial support is needed. If you can possibly support this ministry and you've never given before, just do it. If enough of you that have never given will just step up and do it, then the people that have been giving and our regular givers will continue to do what they're doing. The ministry will be in really good shape. So, but if not, you know, we will risk going off the air every month because we've been put on a 30-day leash by the network. And so please, if you've been meaning to, if you've thought, I really want to, just do it right now. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'm a little confused, but that's okay. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And you can join Club New Life, and we'll send you a Bible and resources every other month.
That's an even better deal because, boy, you get so much from Club
New
Life.
You do.
You really then are part of the family, and it's a monthly gift that you give that you determine.
Okay, I have a Bible verse for you.
Okay.
Where your money is, there your heart will be also.
Yeah.
So really, if you make an investment into something, your heart tends to follow that. And so that's part of the support base, you know, because we make this investment as a Club New Life member. My heart is in this ministry. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give my money to something that I don't think is worth it or something that I think is going to, you know, disappear overnight. It has my heart,
yep.
So I support it.
Yeah. So call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or go to newlife.com and support it. Please do. Another thing you can support is our marriage weekend in Washington, D.C., coming up here this weekend. And we've got an engaged couple that'd like to have some other engaged couples join them. So please think about this. I think it's the ultimate premarital counseling event, and it's the ultimate we're going to fix this marriage and the ultimate we're going to enrich our marriage event. Dr. Dave Stoop and Jan are going to be there. Mylon and Kay are going to be there. I'll be there with my wife. And all three of us are doing a couple of sessions or more. And the best counselors in the country are flown in. You can find out about it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But you don't have a lot of time because it's this weekend. It's going to be exciting. It's in Washington, D.C. All right. Let's get anything you wanted to add to that? At all? I mean, you guys are going to be speaking. What are you going to speak on, Mylon?
Well, you know, there are a lot of things bought and sold and done in this world impulsively.
Yes.
Okay, now if there was an impulsive decision you could make here on Tuesday,
yeah,
that we're just going to be impulsively, just go, let's get in the car and drive.
Right.
This would be a great impulsive decision.
Yes, indeed.
Well, and I think it's also important what you said, that it's an enrichment experience as well. This isn't just for marriages on the brink. You know, this is for a whole spectrum of marriages, from those that are good that want to be better, from those that are teetering on the edge who want to get stable, and those who are thinking about marriage.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, it is a powerful premarital process.
Yeah.
The material we're going to cover is foundational.
All right, let's go to Carrie from Rockwell, Texas, KWRD. Hello, Carrie.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. And
I just want to give a plug to your marriage weekend. My husband and I went to your last one in Dallas a few months back.
Yeah?
And it was fabulous.
Oh, thank you so much. And so that pretty much solved all of the problems there in your marriage, and you guys have had wedded bliss ever since, I'm sure. No, what difference did it make to you, really? Because I know it doesn't solve every problem, but what is the difference?
The difference is that you come away with tools that you can use on a daily, weekly basis to strengthen your marriage. We've been married 15 or 16 years, and recognizing his emotions was difficult, and now he can sift through and try to identify what some of those emotions are.
Very good.
We just communicate better. Lots of good tools. A weekly business meeting as a couple, run down what's going on in our family when you're the busy mom, I'm the busy mom. It's been really, really, really good. We love New Life.
Thank you,
guys.
Well, what's on your mind today?
Well, today I'm calling as the mom of a 6 and 7 year old boy.
Mm-hmm.
They came home very excited yesterday from the neighbor's house. Each had a set of 12 Pokemon cards that the boys next door gave to them, and just their little eyes lit up with joy. And I find myself struggling as a Christian mom to walk the straight and narrow, and then ask my young boys to walk the same line with me. I know if I take those Pokemon cards away from them, you know, they're not, little by little, they're going to be outcast a little bit. They know that that's something their friends play. And it hurts me to see them be the odd man out, but I'm torn. I'm the odd mom out all the time. We go to a private school, but it's not a Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
The teacher played a Pokemon movie during lunch hour.
Now, tell me, are they evil, or is that an...
What is your issue with Pokemon?
I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know. Should I have an issue? I guess that's part of my question. It seems like there's a lot of violence that goes on with Pokemon. I watched another mom lent me a movie, and the characters bleed, and it's very violent when one person or character gets injured. I don't know. Maybe there's nothing wrong with it, and I'm just the extremist radical mom who's trying to protect her kids.
How old are these boys again? You know. How old are the boys?
6 and 7.
6 and 7.
Okay.
You know, sometimes when we try to protect them too much, Carrie, they don't really know how to cope with with the things in life that happen automatically. My grandkids have all played with Pokemon stuff, and I've never seen any kind of negative response, because, you know, if somebody gets killed, they're alive the next segment, you know. So it's kind of an unreal thing, but it also I don't know, I am it's one of those milder things that are out there, I think.
Well, and here's a different concept to think about. Now, I have a very special little 4-year-old, and he's very, very bright, and, you know, he can add and subtract and all this other stuff, and writes. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody can do this. He's an exception. His mom has a very high IQ, and he inherited that IQ, and his mom is an amazing mother. But we don't have to, when it comes to movies, we don't have to worry about violence or something sexual, because we've taught him to look away. And something will come on, and he will say, "I am not allowed to look at that." And he'll look away. And now, I'm not expecting that.
Well, that's what I have to do at 62.
Yeah.
When do we start learning that?
Well, anyway, my point is, better that you teach your children to handle the world than to try to protect your children from the world.
Exactly.
So what you would want to do is, I don't think that there is harm in the Pokemon cards, but if the movie's violent, then you'd want him to be able to say, that is just too violent for us. But I know Solomon came home with three of those, and I think he played with them a little bit or something. And
usually
actually,
it doesn't last.
Actually, he did card tricks with them. And
hey,
I think your attitude could change a little bit from that protective mode, because you got to equip them rather than protect them from everything.
And the other part of it is, you know, if they watch one of those movies and talk to them about it afterwards, and you know, just listen, get them to talk. Don't you kind of pontificate on it. Get them to talk about it. And you might be surprised at how they perceive and how they handle that. And that's a teaching opportunity for you. And so don't be afraid of those things. I think that's... Yeah.
Carrie, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. How wild and crazy or chaotic was your childhood?
Not.
And what was your experience with your parents?
I was extremely protected growing up, no doubt.
Okay.
No doubt.
So what we're trying to look for in terms of parenting is... Why do we parent the way we do? And you said, well, I parent on the straight and narrow. And I see people who parent on the straight and narrow for two reasons. One, they come from a very disorganized, highly chaotic past where they end up going into adulthood highly rigid. Another reason is they are like you, where they were in a highly structured environment, very protected. And in fact, what happens is they perpetuate that because they think that's what truth is. So you need to always be asking yourself, and I love your question, the very fact that you would call up today and say, am I overreacting or what's going on?
Yeah.
I love that in you. And I would just continue to ask the question, because you said, even at our school, I'm the mom that's always the odd man out. That's what I would be really looking at. How extreme do you get at times? Because with a 6 and 7 year old boys, they're going to stretch that from here on out.
Yeah, and don't feel bad about protecting them from violence and sex in movies. I mean, you should never. I mean, anytime we can prevent Solomon from seeing anything violent or sexual, we do that absolutely 100%. But it's never going to be 100%. So it's equipping and protecting at the same time, so they don't get sexualized early on, or they don't start to grow some seeds of violence within them. And I think that's one of the biggest risks, kids getting exposed to the bleeding kind of violence that you're saying. So you're on the right track, but add some training there too.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen, and He's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Our phone number, if you want to join us here on the program, 1-800-229-3000. We are going to Israel in June. There may be a couple of seats left, June 6th through 16th. And I want to play a little video here on the steps of Jerusalem.
You know, some of us have been to Israel, and not always at the best of times, but it is an incredible, there's an incredible feeling of safety there.
Yeah, there is.
And I just would encourage people not to be afraid of Middle East stuff, because you get there, you will feel very, yeah, very safe.
Here's a clip from me on the temple steps.
Today we're here on the steps, the very steps that Jesus walked up, went through that gate that's closed off now, and went into the temple. You have to experience walking the very steps of Christ. Come experience new life in the Holy Land with us in June 2011.
All right. Well, we're really looking forward to it. Already we've got 142 people going, which is one of the larger groups to go over there at one time. We're really looking forward to it. Stephen Curtis Chapman's going to join us, and we're going to do a...
He's going to be there the whole time?
The whole time, and he's going to do a concert.
Sit in the bus with
He's going
people?
To do some praise and worship sessions with us. Once-in-a-lifetime experience. You can find out about it at 1-800.
Yeah, if you're not excited about being with Steve, you certainly will be excited about being with
Steve
Curtis Chapman.
Exactly. All right. Okay, let's talk with Shannon from Annapolis, Maryland, WAVA. Hi, Shannon. Welcome.
Hello.
What is the problem you're dealing with?
I am looking for some wisdom and some guidance in helping my daughter.
Okay.
She's an adult. She's 26 years old, and she's been working as a psychologist in a prison situation and had a really bad event happen. And she's had an emotional and mental breakdown.
What was the bad event that led up to the emotional breakdown?
Well, we're not sure on all of the facts. There's an investigation going on, but she did counseling at the prison with inmates, a male inmate.
Yeah, and she got involved with one of the inmates?
No, she got locked in a classroom with 12 to 15 inmates for some period of time by herself, supposed to happen.
So she was traumatized by an experience in the jail.
Prison.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
And I think that there might have been something, you know, she's had other issues in the past, but she's just had a complete emotional breakdown, and I don't have any experience with mental illness or what to do or how to help her. She's just recently married, so as an adult and no longer in my home.
Yeah. Was she raped, or was it just traumatic that she was enclosed with these men?
I believe from what we're getting is that it was just the traumatic experience of being enclosed with them, and the vulnerability and being isolated by herself.
Shannon, you don't think of this as a mental illness. This is a post-traumatic stress situation that's very treatable. It's like they've learned how to treat this with Vietnam vets and Iraqi vets, and there's some great help that's available for her, and it's not a permanent kind of thing. If it's properly, you know, if she's been inpatient, she's certainly getting the kind of help she needs. But one of the things that's helpful.
She doesn't seem to be responding. She's very angry. We had a family meeting yesterday because she's supposed to be getting out really soon, and they're treating it as a general psychosis is what they're telling us.
She may have had a break, but that's a trauma, and talking about it is a part of it. So if you can get her to talk to you about what happened.
Yeah, it sounds like to me it's like a secondary head trauma. You know, it might have been not all that much, but on top of another trauma that happened earlier, it totally destroys the person's ability to function in the real world. Mm-hmm. And so I guess you could say it could spin her off into a psychotic episode.
But again, that's a post-traumatic stress disorder,
right?
And that with some strong kinds of, say, you know, manic stuff. But don't, it's not a permanent label. Don't let it go there, because there's a precipitating factor. It just didn't happen out of the blue.
Right.
That's the key part of it.
So Shannon, may I ask how much protection was your daughter, did she experience as a child, and was she ever exposed to anything dangerous before? Was she in a pretty sheltered environment? A lot of times what I'm trying to get at is she's in a high-risk situation, and to be locked into a room with a bunch of prisoners and feel trapped, to be trapped is one of the most difficult human conditions. All of us freak out when we feel trapped. So I'm just wondering, though, prior to that, how much in control did she feel in her life? Because this is a complete loss of control.
Exactly. And I think that she has felt that before, that there has been a history of some other history there. Yes, absolutely.
Well, and so this is then another illustration, or I should say a situation where she loses control. So perhaps she's a highly controlling person. A lot of people that go into professions like psychologists or even medical doctors are controlling people.
Especially in a prison.
Yeah, and they control their environment. And to be controlled is such a spin for them.
Yeah.
They don't know how to deal with that. It is a radical, abrupt place of it's horrifying.
Yeah.
It horrifies him. So I think what Dave said is very important. If you want to be a good mom, talk to her about how scared she was. Just say, honey, tell me again how scary it was. What did it feel like to be trapped? None of us likes claustrophobia. Right.
And don't minimize. And if anything, maximize the intensity of it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice to give to her. I hope that it would be helpful to her in that healing process. And I'm glad that you called. We're just about out of time here, and I want to encourage you to support us, as I have earlier, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. That's where you go to support the ministry. If you are a supporter, please continue, but we're really asking people that have never supported the ministry before to do it and see if you don't like the experience. Club New Life, we send you a Bible. We give you discounts. I do a special CD for you each month. A lot of benefits to being part of the Club New Life family. We have a goal of 1,000 members this year. We have 354 before yesterday. I don't know how many signed up yesterday. But please come be a part of that, too. You can join us for Israel Still this weekend in Washington, D.C., a marriage conference. There are a lot of you that have got some marriage issues, and if you would just spontaneously say to your husband or wife, hey, let's just figure out how to get there, train, bus, car, call us up. We've got some places that are open. Spaces that are open.
Especially for engaged couples.
And we've got a need for engaged couples because we've got one engaged couple that really wants other engaged couples there. We really love you. We thank you for watching. We thank you for your dedication and commitment to New Life. All we want to do is bring you the true truth every day and help you to apply it to some real life situations. And to that end, we're going to continue to do it as long as you'll continue to support us. But if you need help, you know, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Counselors, the Everyman's Battle Workshop, the New Life Weekend, our weight loss program, all of those things are there at newlife.com and at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Have a great day today. We'll see you next time on New Life.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries,
P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.